Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the fact that as sons and daughters of God, we have an inheritance. Our inheritance includes everything we need to live this life and the life to come. We could say it this way. We have a present inheritance and we have a future inheritance. We have provision for this life. That's present inheritance. And we have provision for the life to come. That's future inheritance. This week, we're going to focus more. We've already begun discussing this, but we're going to talk even more about how those two aspects of our inheritance work, our present inheritance and our future inheritance. We're making the point that sincere Christians have difficulty accessing the present provisions of their inheritance because they don't understand the nature of life in a fallen world. They have false expectations about what life is supposed to be like, and they expect God to do for them things he has not promised to do. Some of the stuff we want God to give us now is not for this life, it's for the life to come. But if your expectation is that that's guaranteed to me now as a son or a daughter of God, and you don't get it, you may end up frustrated or even angry at God. That's where a lot of Christians are, because they've been misinformed about what is and isn't available to us in this life. They have expectations that are not in line with what the Bible says, and they're expecting God to do something for them he's not promised to do. Now, we left off yesterday making the point that life as it currently is on this earth is not as God intended it to be due to man's sin. There's no such thing as a problem-free life in this world. Jesus himself said, "In the world you will have tribulation." The Amplified says it this way, "In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration." We could do whole lessons on each of these points, but let me just make a few brief comments about life in a sin-cursed earth, about life in a world that's been damaged by sin, which ours has. Adam was the head of the human race and the first steward of this earth. As the head of the human race and the first steward of earth, his sin affected the entire race resident in him. That means what Adam did in the garden affected you. And what Adam did in the garden affected me. What Adam did in the garden when he disobeyed God also affected earth. Due to his sin, we're born into a fallen race with natures that are contrary to God. Our natural bent is towards sin. And we are born with bodies that are mortal and corruptible. That means they're subject to sickness, old age, and death. All because of a choice that Adam made. And we're born into a world that's infused with a curse of corruption that produces weeds, decay, natural disasters, and death. To plants, to trees, to flowers, to birds, to fish, to everything in this material creation, all because of a choice Adam made. On top of that, when Adam sinned, he surrendered his God-given authority in the earth to the tempter, and Satan became the god of this world. He now works through fallen men with unrenewed minds and causes much of the chaos in this world as he lures mankind into further rebellion against God. I realize I'm not reading any verses for this, but I could, trust me. I'm not, just in the interest of time. There's whole lessons we could do with each point here. On top of all this, God gave humanity free will. When he created us, he made us with free will. The freedom to choose. With free will, though, comes not only the choices, but the consequences of the choices we make. and people regularly make choices with consequences that can and do affect us in negative ways, going all the way back to Adam's choice to disobey God in the Garden of Eden. Why is there a hurricane that destroys property in Florida? Because of Adam's choice. Now, you have to recognize the parameters of life in a fallen world. If you don't, on top of the hardships, injustices, and sufferings of life, you'll live with continual disappointments and frustrations. Let me give you an example. You've heard of Siberia, haven't you? The barren, frozen land in northern Russia. Most of it's above the Arctic Circle. Well, if you moved to Siberia because you wanted to live beside the ocean and spend your days soaking up the sun in a warm, temperate climate, because you didn't understand the nature of life in Siberia, you'd end up living a life of frustration and disappointment. Does that make sense? If you decided you were going to grow pineapples in Siberia, you'd have a lot of hardship, frustration, and disappointment. Why? Because you didn't understand the nature of life, the parameters or limitations of life in a frozen world. Well, that's the way it is with many of us. There's no such thing as an easy, problem-free life in this sin-cursed earth. No matter how much God loves you, no matter how good you are, no matter how much faith you have. I realize that what I'm saying is contrary to a lot of the teaching that you hear, particularly on TV today, because what you hear makes it sound like if you give enough, if you close all the doors to the devil, if you cross your T's and dot your I's, you'll have a wonderful life filled with prosperity and blessing. That's absolutely contrary to what the Bible teaches. Oh, I know people can pull verses out. Every false teaching has verses to support it. We're not interested in verses. We're interested in the whole counsel of the scripture, the context in which they were written. Now, none of this means there's no help for life's trials, because there most certainly is. But you have to understand that although some issues can be resolved in this life, others may not be. There are issues in this life that don't get resolved. We must deal with them as best we can, with the assurance that all will be made right in the life to come. The ultimate stage for the reversal of life's pains, injustices, and losses is ahead in the life to come. First in the present invisible heaven, and then on the new earth, this earth made new, when life will finally be what God intended. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I reckon that the sufferings of this life don't even begin to compare with the glory that's going to be revealed for those who know the Lord. He said that in the context of resurrection of the dead, which is connected with the second coming of Jesus and the cleansing and renewing of this earth. That's a whole can of worms for another day. But let me just give you some examples. We could do whole lessons on each point below, but consider several examples of what this looks like, understanding the parameters of life in a fallen world. Healing for our physical bodies is a present provision of our inheritance. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will find that in his earth ministry, when Jesus announced that the kingdom of God was at hand, he healed the sick and cast out devils to demonstrate what the kingdom looks like in action in a fallen world. Isaiah 53 says he bore our sicknesses along with our sins when he went to the cross. Now, those are whole lessons for another day. I realize that a lot of people never get healed. There are answers to a lot of that stuff, but you do have the right to ask God for physical healing, to seek God for physical healing in this world. How you get it and how you get there, that's a whole lesson that we're not dealing with now. The point is, that is present provision. But you can't stop the aging process. And you can't stop physical death. Because of the nature or the parameters of life in a fallen world, our bodies will age and wear out. We get a glorified body in the life to come, or a body raised from the dead, our body raised from the dead, restored to life, made young again immortal beyond the touch of death and incorruptible beyond the touch of sickness and old age. You can't have that now. That's for the life to come. That's future provision. Present provision, physical healing and strength for service. Future provision, a glorified body or a body made like Jesus' resurrection body. Food, clothing, and shelter is also a present provision of our inheritance. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said that as we seek first the kingdom of God, those things will be provided for us. Now, many people say, talk about a hundredfold return over and above what we can ask or think. Actually, that's for the life to come. In Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus' disciples asked him, what will we get for having left all to follow you? He said, this is Matthew 19, verses 28 and 29, when the world is made new, you'll receive a hundredfold what you gave up. A hundredfold means over and above what you gave up. Food, clothing, and shelter, enough to meet your needs. You may get above your needs. Yay if you do. But the over and above what you could possibly have or think is for the life to come. Much of the trouble in our lives comes from choices other people make, which affects our lives. For example, if taxes go up unreasonably due to the choices of government officials, you can't override it, no matter how much faith you have. But you can look to your Heavenly Father to provide you what you need. If your company lays people off, and you're the low man on the totem pole, you can't override management's free will decision, but you can look to God to provide you with another job. If your son gets a divorce and his ex-wife moves three states away with your beloved grandchildren whom you're used to seeing weekly, you can't pray her choice away. Your inheritance doesn't empower you to override the human will or to keep the effects of their decisions away from you. But God's word gives us wisdom, which is part of our inheritance, on how to handle and navigate through these kinds of issues. The Bible gives us insight into how to pray effectively for eternal results in these circumstances. When we pray in other tongues, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in the best way possible in that situation. These are whole lessons for another day, but I'm trying to get you to understand, there's a lot of stuff you can't pray away. You just have to deal with it the best you can by the grace of God and the wisdom of God, and trust Him to bring results for good out of it. We'll discuss this more tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.